It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Living Well, and I'm Ann Beal. We would like to bring you Issues of the Heart today. We're so glad that you joined us. We want to talk about today a recent happening in our community, three firefighters who were killed. We want to talk about what happened and how the whole process went with the community that you've heard of lately. And to help us do this, we've invited a Colleyville firefighter, Kevin McCauley. Welcome, Kevin.
Thank you.
Kevin, can you tell us why in the world someone would possibly want to be a firefighter when it's so dangerous?
Well, some firefighters grow up with a family background in firefighting, such as myself. I have a lot of relatives that grew up in the fire service, and with that being part of my background, it made me want to be a firefighter. So I always had that urge to go out there and be a fireman. I like the challenge of the job, and it seems like everything is different each day you go to work. So
you liked it because your family members did it. Those were people that you really respected, and it seemed like it would be exciting,
right?
And fun. Fun?
Yeah.
Would it be fun?
Firefighting is fun.
Is it fun?
We have a good time at the station, but when it comes time to be serious, we go out there and we do our job, and we do it in a professional manner. So.
Is it also a field that you consider kind of heroic? As a child, did that appeal to you?
As a child, yes. I always looked up to firefighters. I think that, at times you can have a hero in the department. And it just, each day is so different that you never know what you may encounter.
I just know that, when I've heard all the stuff on TV lately, I realized I don't really know much about the life of a firefighter. And, I even feel funny saying firefighter because I'm used to saying fireman. And I started thinking, why do they say firefighter? I guess it's because of women being firefighters.
There are women in the fire service now, more so than before. And, they carry their weight. We're firefighters. We're firefighters and EMTs, and we have firefighter paramedics. We run both fire and ambulance service with most of the cities in the surrounding area. So,
but they changed the name mainly because with women coming in, you're not really a fireman anymore. You can fight fires.
I don't know why they really changed the name. I guess it would associate with women being in the fire service.
That makes sense.
Yes.
It's just for me, it's a change of just an old title. It's at me all day saying firefighter. But let's tell the watching audience a little more about what a fireman is, how you become a fireman. I know the kids out there might want to know exactly, how do you get the experience in fighting fires?
Well, it's a long road. You have to go to a lot of schooling. There's a lot of schooling involved in firefighting. You have to go to a rookie school, and then after your rookie school, you usually go to medical school, which is the EMT, And then from EMT, you can progress into paramedics.
The EMT's emergency medical technician?
Yes, okay. Ma'am. And the paramedics are a step above us as far as what we can do on the ambulance. Actually, we're like the hospital on wheels. We're the first responders to the accident scene, the fire scene, the medical scene. We handle it all. And we have a direct line with the hospital to any doctor. If we run into some kind of problem where we have to call medical control, then we can do that. And there's nothing we can't do that a doctor can't do.
So the schooling, would that be instead of college, you go to a rookie school? Or after college? How does that work?
Actually, Tarrant County Junior College has a rookie school. There's other places in the state of Texas that offer rookie schools. Frisco Fire Academy is where I went. And there's Collin County.
Did you say Frisco Fire Academy?
Frisco Fire Academy.
I didn't know they had that.
Yeah, I sure do. And it's a long road. Actually, it's over 500 hours of training now. So,
it's really hard. The more I've learned about it this week, it's really helped me appreciate the job that firefighters do, and also appreciate the men that died. Mm-hmm. Because they were so young, I thought they must be brand new at it. But when you've heard about all that it takes to get where they got.
No, actually, they had some experience under their belts. And the thing is, you know, each day you go out there, you don't know what you're going to encounter in the fire service. You're a public servant. You're here to serve the community. And, you know, we do everything we possibly can to educate the people in the community as far as, you know, in the state. You know, it's a group effort in every department. And fire education is really important. Mm-hmm. We go to the schools and educate the children about fire and what it can do and how it can start and where to go and what we look like when we're in uniform and in full gear. So they don't get scared. And, you know, we tell them to have meeting places out by the mailbox where if everybody gets out of the house, they meet at a certain point so we know everybody's out. So there's a real lot involved as far as educating your community. And it's really important that we do that. And that's a big part of our job for the public.
I know that firefighters have come to my kids' school and taught them all that. And I've heard them say it would be neat to be a firefighter. And I thought, yeah. But it never dawned on me that there's actually a school that you go to that you can go through and here in the area, and that there's an actual way to progress to become a firefighter. Mm-hmm. But let's say you get all the way through the schooling, then what happens?
Well, after you go through the schooling and then your medical schooling, you have a state test. You have to take a state test, a written exam, and also a physical agility with the state, as well as both the medical and fire side. So there's a little bit more to go forward before you can become a paid firefighter.
And then it's actually a very competitive field, which surprised me too.
Very
Because you think with it being so dangerous, you know, the interesting thing about that is also it's very competitive to be a policeman.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So it is very competitive.
Right.
How hard do you think it is here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area?
There's a lot of competition in this area. And I think the reason that people want the job is, you know, firefighters work 24 hours on and then they have 48 hours off. A lot of firefighters work, you know, two jobs for extra income. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, that with the time off, it's a real benefit. I think that the challenge of the job is a big plus. I think that something you encounter something different. You work with a great group of guys. You know, the guys are really good around the station. And actually, you know, when you're on duty for 24 hours, you live with these guys for 24 hours, which is, when you think about it, almost a third of your life.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're family. That's how it is. We're all family, and it's a brotherhood. And, you know, even with the ladies, it's, you know, brotherhood, sisterhood. So, you know, we make the best of it when we're together.
So you make it sound like it's kind of neat that you get that days off. So you have 24 hours on, 48 hours off.
Right.
Some of that 48 hours is sleeping, mm-hmm. but it is a good recovery time.
Right.
And so that might be a reason, too.
Yeah, in case you encounter something that, you know, you need some time off for, it's real beneficial for you.
What? How much time do you get off when you need it, if you've had a real traumatic experience?
Well, I'm on the reserves, so I'm not the 24, 48-hour man. But if when you encounter something that's real stressful and you have to really go into a briefing, a debriefing, you know, the guys get together and, you know, we make sure that we're okay with that. And we do that through talking. And if, you know, there's always counseling available for firefighters and police officers. If it's harder to handle than maybe just sitting around and talking about it with your fellow worker. But we always make sure that the guys are in top condition to go out there on the line and do their job right and do it in a professional way.
Sounds like you look out for each other.
We always do.
That's great.
It's really important to us.
How did your family feel about you getting into firefighting?
My family is real supportive to me.
They weren't scared for you or thought you were endangering your life? Or
I think any family knows that when their son, daughter, relative becomes a firefighter, that your life is always in danger. And I think that you can only wish for the best each day you go to work and pray that you come home at night or the next day, whatever it may be. And but they support you. You know, I think support is really a big plus for you, you know, on your family side. So
Kevin and I were friends, mm-hmm. and I know his family, and they really do. And sometimes I wondered, you know, it must be a different mentality being from a family that has had firefighters in the family. Mm-hmm. They look at it more from, I would think, serving your community. And mm-hmm. this is a heroic thing, giving your life for the community and serving, instead of worrying about every day if you're going to be hurt, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think it's really a healthy thing to go out there and worry about it every day. I think it would affect you on the job if you thought that way. The duty of a firefighter is to go out there. You know what your training is and you know what your job is. And when it comes down to going out there and performing, it's almost automatic on what you need to do. There's no room for mistakes. Mm-hmm. If somebody makes a mistake, then, you know, people get hurt and maybe even die. But, you know, the thing is, you're so well trained that you're in sync with each other, and you know it needs to be done.
What are your favorite things about being a firefighter?
I like working with the community. I like the children, you know, mm-hmm. when we educate the children, because we have they've come out with this being a clown now. You know, you dress up as a clown and you go into the schools, and the kids love it. You know, they see a firefighter in a clown uniform, and, you know, it brings smiles to their faces. So it's a big plus to see that, you know. And like I said before, I think it's the challenge, you know, when you get on that truck and you know you're going to a call, you know you're going out there to assist the public in some form or fashion. And it's a lot of energy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps you really energized.
Isn't it? We talked about being a little exciting, and that you
it's
said it changes.
It's very exciting to me.
It's not a boring job, that's for sure.
No, not at all. It's not boring at all. And, you know, we don't just sit around the fire station and wait for something to come in. You know, we work just like everybody else. You know, we have truck maintenance and check the lights and make sure the sirens work. You know, we have a lot of, we have house cleaning, cooking for each other, you know, so there's a lot involved,
wow.
you know, more so than just sitting around waiting for the tones to go off.
What is the, you know, like the estimated salary range from like a starter to someone who's been doing it for like 15 years? What are the ranges?
In this general area, you can start out probably at $25,000 to $26,000 a year, and going through the ranks, becoming a lieutenant, captain, battalion chief,
wow.
you can probably work your way up until 60,000, 70,000, 80,000 a year.
That's great.
Yeah,
I didn't realize they had those titles. Battalion captain.
You got to be a high-ranking officer to get that kind of money, but firefighter, paramedics are probably making, you know, anywhere in the range of 35,000 to 45,000.
Did you know the men who were hurt that were killed in the fire?
On a personal level, no. I did not.
They were, some were volunteer firefighters and some were paid.
Right.
Can you explain the difference between the two?
Actually, Brian Collins and Philip Dean were paid firefighters in Fort Worth, and Gary Sanders was a volunteer firefighter. All three were volunteering their services that day for a different department. Except for Gary, he was a member of that one department as a volunteer. The only difference is, in my opinion, is that you draw a paycheck. When you're a firefighter, and you're a volunteer firefighter or a paid firefighter, I believe that, you know, you're all in one.
Because they're all trained the same way.
Right. You have to have so many hours to become a reserve paid a volunteer firefighter. Mm-hmm. So the training is there before you can get on the apparatus. So yes, it is.
I know it impacted you what happened to them. Mm-hmm. Being a firefighter. Can you tell me what is the danger potential? That's not the right way to put it. I'm sure that firemen in this area aren't killed all the time. I mean, it seems like they've really been able to prevent now with all the technology and the uniforms, and they can protect their men when they go out. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure now you're so much safer than you used to be. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, when you say safer, I think when you say safer, we're probably better trained in this day and age. I think that the equipment that we wear is top of the line. We have very good equipment in Colleyville. I know all the surrounding areas are up to date just as much. So I think that going into a fire and having the proper equipment and the proper training will help you come home. Mm-hmm. I believe that.
But you never know what's going to happen when you get there.
Never know what's going to happen.
And that's the most dangerous part, I would think.
Right. Well, when you arrive on the scene, you have an officer in charge on the apparatus that you're riding, and you know they'll do a size up, is what we call it, and the size up is we evaluate the scene, and that. When we evaluate a scene, we know if we're either going to go in the building by the way it looks, mm-hmm. or go defensive and stay out and just spray water and just let the building burn until we can get it out defensively. We protect exposures on the outside and make sure that everybody's out. That's number one.
So it's really the training. And the person, would he be like the battalion commander, whoever gets there first to make the decision how they should handle? Those are high-ranking people.
Right. It can either be a battalion chief on the scene. It can be a captain or a lieutenant. Most of the time, a first engine company, and you'll mm-hmm. have an officer on each truck. So, you know, you'll have a commander as soon as you get there. And once we evaluate, or the lieutenant evaluates, he calls the shots on what to do.
The scene. You know, when I heard about it, I immediately thought, gosh, being a fireman is so dangerous. Well, you know, again, why would anybody want to do that? Mm-hmm. But you've really changed my whole perspective of what being a firefighter is like. Because I used to think that has to be the most stressful job, that and being a policeman. But a firefighter, you're always going into fire or where people are really hurt badly. And I thought the stress would be intense, or burnout would be heavy. And you've really changed my perspective of that. Can you explain why?
I don't think burnout is really heavy. I think that the job, as dangerous as it is, I don't think a firefighter is going to get involved if he's scared to do the job. I think that, you know, maybe that percentage would drop out. I think you really know what you're encountering by going through school. Mm-hmm. And learning what you're learning, and you get a feel of what the job is all about. So I don't think that there's a real high dropout rate mm-hmm. in the fire service.
That's one of the things that makes it so hard to find a job. because you were saying it has one of the lowest turnovers.
Right.
That people just, they don't quit.
Right. And in this area now, there's a lot of expansion going on, a lot of new stations being built in the cities. And so you're going to see some hiring going on in this area.
And I know one of the other things that you mentioned was that when a firefighter, you said it earlier, if they encounter a traumatic situation or something that happened that could turn to burnout or stress where they have to drop out, that the commander or whoever, that you guys help him, you debrief him, you go over and see how he's doing, mm-hmm. he can take as much time as he needs off?
I would think that would be a call from your mm-hmm. chief, you know, and they would evaluate the situation, each situation different, depending on what's happening, you know.
But they don't make them go back until they're ready.
Exactly.
Nobody
goes out into the field unless they're 100%, you know, ready to go.
So it's really not anything like I expected. I've always been surprised, being a counselor, that I don't see more firemen or policemen, firefighters, mm-hmm. That they don't come in more often. Mm. I've had the girlfriends of firefighters.
Okay.
And, you know, talk about that they were always so afraid for them. You know, they wanted them to change jobs. But I've talked to a lot of counselors to see if they've ever had a firefighter come in. And so far, I haven't found one. Hmm. And so that tells me that you guys either take care of your workers very well mm-hmm. in helping them with their stress, counseling needs, that there must be some kind of staff.
And that's part of your training. You know, I think, you know, like I said earlier, it's both fire and medical. You know, you deal with auto accidents. Mm-hmm. So you encounter a lot out there. And there's a lot going on in this area. So the thing is, if you run into something really bad, then you just have to make sure that we're all okay. And you're right, we take care of each other.
And you guys know, because lots of times you're there together, or mm-hmm. you know when they go out, when they come back, when they talk about it, you kind of get, you know what they need.
And actually, you can tell by knowing, you know, the people you work with, when you get back, you can tell by their personalities. I mean, mm-hmm. you learn each other. You know, you're family. You're with each other a lot. So if something's wrong, you can normally pick it out and say, hey, what's going on? You know, and if they want to talk about it, they'll pretty much open up.
Now, you've been a firefighter a long time. Mm-hmm. And so when I talk about, you know, traumatic situations, I can tell that you've probably experienced some.
Some, yes.
But as a fireman, what would you consider the toughest experience you've had?
I would have to say Delta Flight 191, August 2nd, 1985. Mm. And I was working out at DFW Airport at the time, not as a firefighter, but I was out there as a aircraft fueler. And I was on duty that night, and I did have training from being a firefighter prior, from Rhode Island, so I knew some medical training. And that was the hardest that I had to encounter, because there was such a great loss of life that day. Mm-hmm. And when it was all going on in the beginning, there was so much commotion, and everybody was trying to do the right things and, you know, looking for survivors. And but then after it was all pretty much settled down, it was just quiet, you know, and you knew that there was a lot of death mm-hmm. right in front of you. And that was probably the hardest thing I ever had to face.
That sounds like it would be the hardest thing for me.
It was.
You know, you've talked about that there's different kinds of firefighters. From your description of what you just talked about, that sounds more on the medical side. You said there's firefighters and there's EMTs, the emergency medical technicians, and then the paramedics?
Yes, ma'am.
How is the stress or burnout on that side? Because that would be a lot of the kind of thing you just described.
Well, when you're on the ambulance and you're in a real busy city, mm-hmm. I would say it's higher on the ambulance than it is on the fire truck. Because you're encountering so much more with people, you know, directly. Usually in a fire scene, you're watching, you're pretty much trying to save somebody's property.
Right.
You know, and you're making sure that everybody's out of the home and everything. But usually on the ambulance, you know, you encounter a lot more of injuries,
people,
death, mm-hmm. you know, and it would be a higher burnout percentage on the ambulance.
So I hadn't thought of it like that. Yeah, mm-hmm. I can see that.
Yeah.
It's quite a high calling to be a firefighter. I mean, you just described an incredible job to me. I know that in our neighborhood, you know, everyone would say, talk about Kevin, they go, you know, he's the fireman. He's the firefighter. And everybody knew who you were. Oh, the fireman. Yeah, we know him. And but you didn't hear that about the computer person or the, you know, engineer. You know, nobody knew who they were, but everyone knew who Kevin the firefighter was. So there is immense respect with that.
And I see that, and that's something else that makes you feel good about yourself for being be out there, and the people recognize you, and you know that you can be of service to them when they need it.
Which you always are. Every time something happens, every time I hear an alarm, or every time, you know, we had a fire across the street, I mean, you're always there.
Mm-hmm.
Every time there's an ambulance out there, Kevin's there. So
try to be there.
We always know.
I love the job.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Tell me what you've learned from being a firefighter.
Well, you learn that sometimes life is too short. I guess we learned that with our three fallen comrades lately, you know, that we just lost.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're dearly going to miss them. Even though you don't know them on a personal level, we're still brothers and sisters. And the great thing about that is, you know, that people came from all over the world for the funeral. And that showed a lot about firefighters and how we stick together. So I learned that, you know, we stick together. I learned that your family is important to you. I learned that having the Lord in your life is a real main role. And, you know, each day you have to live to the fullest. And you have to be honest. And you have to be true to yourself to make yourself a good person in life, you know. And it's really important that you go out there and lead by example, because we're living in a tough world today. Mm-hmm. And I think that our children in the schools need to see role models and look up to us as role models so that we can show them the right path of life.
I think you are a role model. And,
well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I try to be.
I'm glad we've had a chance to tell you a little more about being a firefighter. And I think Kevin's really shown for us just the immense job of being a firefighter, and has given us much more appreciation for what it means and for the men who we lost in those fires. And we thank you for being here to help us understand
glad
it.
Glad to be here.
And for explaining all about the stress and how to handle it, and more about the life. I appreciate that.
You're more than welcome.
And I thank you for joining us to continue our series on stress. And we hope you'll join us again next week, or next show, when we talk about stress again. And we hope that some of the things you've learned today will help you know how to live well. Thank you.